whatsoever.
No, you're not.
Thank you.
It's a lovely vineyard Mr. Marais was telling us about it.
It's pretty expensive, so.
Mr. Kushner, you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
I would like to reserve 4 minutes, if I may, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You may begin.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Brian Kirchner, and I represent Charter Oak Fire Insurance Company with regard to this matter. On May 7th, 2010, both claimants were working at their desks when, without warning, a Range Rover came through the exterior wall of their office building and into their office. The vehicle was operated by Josephina Marais, who was not affiliated with the employer in any way other than being married to the owner. She had stopped by the employer's property with her granddaughter for a surprise visit to see her daughter, who happens to be the child's mother, who also works for the employer.
I take your whole argument is that this injury was not sustained in the scope of employment.
Yes, it did not arise out of.
Rising out of the employment.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Can you explain to us why you do not believe that?
Well, in Virginia has the actual risk test for whether injury arises out of the employment. And the inquiry under the actual risk test is whether the employment is a contributing proximate cause wherein the causative danger is peculiar to the business and the event has its origin in a risk connected with the employment. Now, this court has found in similar cases in the past has noted that merely being struck by a vehicle on the work premises alone does not establish the required causation of the
employment. Were the employees, or the people who were struck, were they working in the environment that they were instructed? In other words, were these their desks?
Yes, they were at their desks.
Okay, and these were their designated work areas?
Yes, they were. They had essentially clerical office jobs, and these were their desks.
Okay, so it's not the kind of case where they're, you know, standing outside or some happenstance injury that happened during the work day. They were where they were supposed to be when this accident occurred.
Correct.
Okay, why doesn't that meet the test that you just articulated?
Because again, this is in Virginia. We are in an actual risk state as opposed to a positional risk state,
okay.
And merely just being struck by a vehicle on the work premises while they're doing a job in a building that has nothing to do with any sort of interaction with vehicles.
Let me ask you about that if I can, yes. Mr. Kirchner.
Certainly.
Because, and correct me if I'm getting the facts in any way wrong here, but the driveway is right next to the wall, and there's no curb, there's just some gravel there, essentially. And the desk of the two claimants were on the other side of the wall and actually attached to the wall, right?
Well, yes and no. That is correct. Mm-hmm. The parking lot, it's a big property. I believe it's 10 acres. Mm-hmm. And it's gravel, and a bunch of the heavier trucks that come through don't really approach the office building, which is in the back.
Mm-hmm.
But people who have business with the office building come up to the office building, and it's true, there's no curb.
And you can park right next to the wall there, right?
Yes, you would park in front of the building, and there's obviously the
and
front
two,
of the building is the wall. And that
two
was
vehicles have run into that wall before, right? Only one damaged the wall a little bit. The other, there was no damage.
That's right. Correct. And I mean, we're talking about two over the course of many, many years, and I would submit that those instances are very different from the case here. Those instances involved people who had parked and gotten out of their car, and for various reasons, the car rolled, or they were trucks, actually, rolled into the building and did either superficial damage or really no damage at all. And that's very different than...
Mr. Kirsten, you brought up the analogy to the automobile accident while employed cases, and I too found that to be an appropriate analogy. But looking at the cases, I'm not sure that they support your position as well as you have kind of represented, or at least you think they do. It's true that just being on the street in a car during the time period that you're employed does not make the injuries from a traffic accident compensable. But the Supreme Court, and this is, I'm quoting from the Dreyfus test, said the test, however, is not that other persons are exposed to similar risk, but rather that the employment exposes the workman to the particular danger in the street. And they found that in one case, Broshnam, where the person was just on his lunch hour and was hit by a car. That was not compensable. But a workman that was in Dreyfus, a workman was told by his employer to drive to a doctor. And that was compensable. Now, here it seems to me that this person was placed in this position at her desk by her employer. She was fulfilling duties of employment as opposed to walking to her car to go to lunch. Why isn't that more similar to Dreyfus than it is to Brosh?
Well, I think there's a big distinction of whether the person is on the street or not. This person was in the office. This person was in their office building where cars are not entering the office building. There's no expectation for cars to breach a wall and go
maybe one time, but three times.
Well, if the ceiling had caved in and injured her, wouldn't that be compensable?
If the ceiling had caved in because a car?
No, if she was just sitting at her desk and the ceiling fell in.
I don't believe so. I don't believe so. I don't think that there would be any risk of employment unless potentially there was some sort of defect that was the employer's problem, that had something to do with the employer. But if it was just something that I suppose happens rarely, I don't believe that this would be just sitting at your desk and having a ceiling collapse on you.
I'm sure your opponent colleague is going to seize on the term defect, and what he is going to suggest is that by placing an employee next to this wall, particularly when there was notice that this wall had been breached before, that's a defect that exposed the employee to an unreasonable risk.
Well, first I would. We've talked that the cars have collided with the wall before, but they've never been breached, and certainly never been breached in this sort of a manner. I mean, to me, this is entirely different than someone going at low speed, a car idling, essentially, into the front lawn and causing some superficial damage. This is someone who was pulling up and literally accelerated through the wall. And I would disagree. I'm not sure that there's any reference, that there's any evidence in the record or finding from the commission that there is an actual defect in the wall. The wall was made with brick and 2x4s.
Well, is there a defect, though, in that the desk that they had to sit at to do their jobs were actually connected to the wall, so that when the vehicle hits the wall and starts coming through, the gentleman gets pinned by his desk, right? And the woman, Ms. Caudill, she kind of awakens with bricks like over her head all fall around her.
You mentioned this earlier, and I wanted to address this. The claimant, I believe the record shows, gets hit by his desk. I don't think he's wakes up pinned in any position. In fact,
testimony, intestinal damage.
Yeah, when it all came in, the desk went like this, certainly, right into his abdomen, certainly. But the desk, first of all, the desk is in front of a brick wall, and it's an exterior wall, but I don't believe that that's unusual for people to put their desk in front of a exterior wall. And the desk is an L-shaped desk. So as it's shown in the record, one end of the desk faces the exterior wall, and that's where Mr. Morgan was sitting. Then it wraps around, and the other end of the desk is facing the interior wall, and that's where Ms. Caudill was sitting. So I don't think there's any placement of the desk that resulted in the injuries here, because even when the desk is placed to the side and you're sitting facing the side instead of sitting facing the wall,
My question is, if it's connected to the wall and then the wall is breached and he's injured, I mean, if it's just against the wall, something comes through, maybe the desk flies all around or moves all around, but it's not still connected, so that perhaps the injury isn't as great because everything gets knocked different ways. Maybe he does still get injured. But if it's connected to the wall and he has to sit there as part of his job, you see where I'm going with the question?
Sure, sure. And I would my response would be, I don't think that there is any... I think you're right. There's no determination what his injuries would have been if there's nothing in the record that the desk injured him any more specifically than if the car had just gone through. I would submit that if based on the pictures of the record of the location of the car, I mean, we're talking about a small office here, and this car is a big car, and it is basically all the way in the office through the wall. I would submit that anyone in that office would have been injured regardless of where the desk was, and I think that shows with Ms. Caudill.
Well, help me with this thought. The employer is on notice that for some reason cars have a hard time stopping and run into this building. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, certainly it's happened twice before.
Okay, yeah. And that creates a danger to anybody working in that building, doesn't it?
Well, I'm...
A possible danger, a foreseeable danger.
Potentially, I would...
And he not deliberately, but he placed his employee in a position where if this happened, that person could be injured.
Well, I would submit that the foreseeability is not really a factor in the arising out of analysis.
If the employer recognizes that he has placed the employee in a position of risk, isn't that the test we use? I mean, isn't that the actual risk test? And here he knows cars bump into this building. He puts the employee in a position at risk if that were to happen again, and lo and behold, it does.
Well, Your Honor, I would respectfully disagree. In a case that we've cited, Loveless, it's Green Hand Nursery versus Loveless. In that case, there was testimony that 7 similar incidents of cars leaving the roadway and heading into what was a nursery by the side of the road. That were leaving the roadway previously, but this was not a factor addressed by the court in finding that it arose out of the employment. The court instead seized on the distraction and the claimant's inability to get away due to some work-related factors, to get away from the car and to escape from the tree line. This foreseeability was not factored in at all, and I think that's indicative of whether that's really a consideration in the arising out of.
If this court were of a mind to, and I'm not suggesting we are, develop a foreseeability analysis, would that undermine your theory of the case?
I would disagree, only because we're talking about different sorts of breaches. We're talking about very different situations, I believe. And I see I'm into my rebuttal time, I believe. But
you may answer the question.
Thank you, I'd be happy to. It is different because we're not talking about, again, we're talking about two trucks that idled without people driving it into the building and didn't make any effect to the building. For lack of a better way to put it, the structure held. This is a Range Rover that with significantly different force that could only have come from hitting the accelerator, breached through the wall, and that, I don't believe, is foreseeable based on the two previous incidents.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Morning, Your Honors. Matthew O'Hara for the appellee. The test in a workers' compensation case is simply whether or not the employment exposes the employee to the risk that causes the injury. There are many different definitions, and I think they get confused. It's not a nature of the business. In other words, it's not necessarily that the person is injured because he was lifting bricks, because he's a brick mason. It's simply whether or not the employment puts the employee in risk that causes the actual injury. And that's what happened in this case. The employer has the plant set up so that cars come straight down a wide two-lane gravel drive to park directly at the wall beyond which his employees sit. And what happened is the car doesn't stop. I don't think there's any evidence that necessarily it accelerated, but it doesn't stop and it hits the wall. And the reason this is a risk of the employment is because of the setup of the plant. This person is expected on the premises.
Doesn't the case law use the term something to the effect that the injury and the circumstances must be peculiar to their workplace?
Some of the cases will say that, but all that means, if you look at all the definitions of the tests that are in the cases, all that means is that the work causes the risk. It's not necessarily that this person deals with poisonous chemicals, this person's a firefighter, and they get injured by that particular thing. And that can be seen in the case where the person is mugged in the bank, gets shot driving through the intersection. These are not cases where the injury is caused by the physical activity of their job, if you will, but rather by the fact that their employment puts them in a position of danger. And I'm not talking about a positional risk case.
As far as the standard of review in this case, and obviously we know the standard, and both of you have articulated the standard, would your position be undermined if at the commission level the determination had been made from a factual standpoint that your claimant was not entitled to recover? Or is this a pure question of law?
This is a pure question of law. I don't think there's a fact in dispute really in this case. This is all whether or not what happened in this case meets the arising out of the employment test. So
you don't think there are any credibility determinations that we need to look at here?
No, there are no credibility determinations.
In this circumstance, your client is not without remedy, because obviously she could sue Ms. Moraes for the injury that was sustained. Taking that point, and again, we're not to consider other alternative resources for compensation. I'm not talking about that. Why would we want to take the unusual circumstance of someone sitting at their desk and someone haphazardly driving through the wall and make that a compensable workplace injury?
Because that's what the law asks us to do.
Good answer.
What happened in this case is there's a setup for the employment. The injured workers are told this is where you must sit. The person who drives the car into the building is not some crazy. It's not a runaway car. This is a person who's expected on the premises, who comes to the premises. Obviously, it was an accident, but the setup of this employment puts these employees at the risk for what happened. And there are unusual cases.
So critical to the determination of the analysis in the case, you believe, and correct me if I'm misstating your position, is that the employer chose to place these people in this position, and because of that choice and because of the other circumstances associated with the choice, makes it a compensable injury.
I believe the injury is compensable because of the way it happened. Part of the circumstances of the employment that put the employee at risk are where they're told to sit in this instance. There's a safer room behind. They could have had the driveway turn in and end somewhere else. So the circumstances surrounding their employment situation is what resulted in the injury.
A workplace environment design flaw.
Yes, if you will. I mean,
it's part of the design flaw. Bear with me on this. This may not initially make sense, but is part of the design flaw that, and also related to foreseeability, that they couldn't see through this wall. There were no windows. They couldn't see that a vehicle was approaching. Is that part of it?
I don't really think so. I think that got into our arguments because of the Green Hand case. And the Green Hand case seems to place the employment-related risk on the fact of the distraction of the employee and the fact that she couldn't get out of the way. It does seem to me, looking at the Green Hand case, that to say there's a compensable injury because somebody couldn't quite get out of the way, even though they had a chance to, and then to find that the claimants in this case, their injury was not compensable when they had absolutely no way of knowing that the danger to which they were exposed was actually upon them, would be inconsistent. But I don't really think the fact that they didn't have a window there is part of the problem. I think the problem is this is a two-lane driveway that many, many cars come up to and park day after day after day, over and over and over again. It's very similar to the Martin case, which is cited, where the employee is on the loading dock and he's exposed to cars backing up all the time. And
there he's actually loading a TV into a customer's car.
But if you change some of the language, continually exposed to cars parking against the wall that's 2 feet away from where they're sitting, the analysis becomes the same. In the same way that trying to argue that because they weren't outside, this doesn't arise out of the employment seems like that would make the law sort of ridiculous, I think. In the Park Oil case, where it's a friend who comes onto the premises with absolutely no business-related activity, he's playing a joke on his buddy, and he guns the car and he hits his friend. And the court found that arose out of the employment, because there on that premises, cars come on, and this person had to work there, and he was actually injured by a car that came on the premises, and that's one of the risks of the employment.
It seems to me that there's some pretty good language in the Ruby Tuesday, Sims versus Ruby Tuesday case, the Supreme Court, that addresses the issue here. The Supreme Court said the injury need not have been foreseen or expected, but after the event, it must appear to have had its origin in a risk connected with the employment, and to have flowed from that source as a rational consequence. I mean, to me, if you've got several accidents that have occurred in the past involving vehicles striking a building, it's a risk that had its origin in the work.
And I would go a step farther than that. I think even if cars had not hit this building before, it's obvious that this is a risk because it happened. Even if this was the first time it happened, this is a risk to those people, and the fact that it arose out of the employment is because of where they sat, and it's the end of the driveway.
Suppose the owner had put a curb up there. Would that have changed the situation here?
It would have changed the situation. It might have prevented the injuries, but then in that case...
But let's say it hadn't, you know, because her foot got stuck on the accelerator, or she thought she was hitting the brake or whatever, and she still went through. If he had taken some precaution to put a curb, but it didn't end up causing this, or it didn't end up preventing this from happening, would your client still... would this be an actual risk that arose in the course of the employment?
Yes, because of the same setup. It would have been a case where there would have been testimony or argument or expert opinion that particular curb was insufficient for the types of vehicles that were coming. But this case boils down to, in a nutshell, the fact that the claimants had to sit beyond this wall that was the parking lot barrier. And this is not a parking lot where if you go down a city street, or you know, you go down the street and then you have to turn into your parking spot, or there's a sidewalk and then the building. This is a situation where the parking lot is at the end of a two-lane gravel road. So cars come down, there's no turning, there's no barrier, and the claimants are sitting directly behind this wall, and that's why it arises out of the employment. And I think if you consider some of the odd cases, and by that I mean it's compensable when you get shot at an intersection because your employment puts you in that intersection. It's compensable when you get mugged at a bank because your employment places you in that bank. Or even the schoolhouse case, the Scott County case, you get injured because your employment places you in a location that is dangerous. And it's because of that, and there are other cases. There's a case, I believe, I don't remember the name of it, where a trucker gets shot at a rest stop. But that does not arise out of the employment because there's no evidence in that case that this is a dangerous rest stop, that he had to be in this particular rest stop. And so it boils down to, despite all of the sort of odd language about automobile cases, active guy cases, risks peculiar, it's all language that in the particular case that it's used is trying to define that if the employment puts the person at risk and they are injured by that risk, then the case is compensable. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. You have your rebuttal remaining, Mr. Kirshner.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just briefly, this case does not arise out of this accident does not arise out of the claimant's employment, because here the injury simply cannot be fairly traced to the employment as a contributing proximate cause, because nothing about the employer's concrete business, the claimant's clerical job duties, or the physical work environment gives rise to a risk of being basically run over by an SUV while you're sitting at your desk.
Have you looked at Liberty Mutual versus Herndon?
I recognize the name. I'm not recalling
It's a case this court issued recently, and it has a fairly comprehensive discussion of the actual risk test. And a lot of that language is not consistent with your argument. We seem to have said in that case that the actual risk test and the common to the neighborhood language that has been used in the past, it does not preclude recovery as long as the danger is part of the work responsibilities.
I agree that it does not preclude, that a common risk to the neighborhood does not necessarily preclude recovery, but Virginia is not a positional risk state. There is a requirement of in the course of and arising out of. And when you're hit by a vehicle somewhere, it has to not arise out of. And I would submit that the case law, Sears Roebuck v. Martin, it's been mentioned, Green Hand Nursery v. Loveless that we've discussed, those are all facts that are, I think, much more tied the causation of the accident to the employment than this one. And at some point, there needs to be an affirmation of the actual risk test in cases where someone's struck by a vehicle on their work premises. And the statements that have been made in earlier cases that merely being struck by a vehicle on the work premises alone does not establish the required causation. We would submit that this is a case where the claimant was merely not putting themselves in any particular risk of being struck by a vehicle, was struck, merely struck by a vehicle while they were working in their office.
All right. So thank you very much.